Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Welcome back as we continue our discussion of our 11 shortlisted books for our 2021 NICE project.
On to Emily Dickinson?
Yes, my copy is from 55. This was my mom's. And so there are, the audience won't see, but I can show you, Sarah E., in our Zoom. There's some of her sticky stars. Yeah, so it might be easier to fail with land in sight than gain my blue peninsula to perish of delight. That's one of her stars. Mm-hmm. Another one is, how many flowers fail in wood or perish from the hill without the privilege to know that they are beautiful? That would be, picking an Emily Dickinson. And again, we would pick one. Right. Poem probably, right?
Right. I think we would leave her entire catalog open, but we would highlight one poem. And what I like is that her poems are pithy. They're short. It would be, we could still quote the whole poem
right
in our passage.
Yeah. So. I think that's true. I think getting one poem would be easy. I mm-hmm. think what our discussions would probably be more about than that actual poem would be Emily Dickinson herself, mm-hmm. Because what is almost, I love her poetry, but what's kind of keeps her in the popular culture is not maybe the literal words she put pen to paper, but her life, her personality, her character, the way she was, the way she lived. I mean, her life is the fodder of movies and mm-hmm. and biographies, and she's an interesting author to talk about. So,
and yet you can see society trying to make sense of her life. One of Spike's favorite plays, which I've seen a recording of, is Belle of Amherst. It's a one-woman show about Emily Dickinson, mm-hmm. and that really depicts her as quite well adjusted. Mm-hmm. And then I know that there's kind of an irreverent movie that's come out in the last few years about her life. I think that there's a lot of speculation that's tempting for us to have in interpreting her life. Mm-hmm. I like that this would bring to light and feature some neurodiversity. Mm-hmm. But, I think simply we as armchair psychologists, can't quite know.
No, but we do have the pandemic, if mm-hmm. you put Emily Dickinson's poetry and her life in the context of, COVID-19, global pandemic, our armchair psychology and understanding is, I think, much more readily accessible to today's audience. The isolation, art as therapy, and we love to talk about females in the past, generations historically who didn't conform to societal norms. I mean, Emily Dickinson's right up there with that. And those are things that we do know about her that have been documented and we wouldn't be guessing so much. So, there's a lot of stuff from gender roles in society, which we always love to talk about, to things like isolation, which, goes along with several other of our books that we've talked about as potentials for this year, and art as therapy. That's right alongside the yellow wallpaper, for example. And then all of these kinds of themes in context with the pandemic, I feel like people today would relate to Emily Dickinson in a way that maybe 5 years ago they wouldn't have. Mm-hmm. So we, in a way, we would almost be like reintroducing her. She's such a familiar name. Everybody knows Emily Dickinson's name, but how many people have actually really read her poems? Maybe not that many. I feel like Emily Dickinson would be good any year.
I think you're right, though, that this could be more of a poignant year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also have really appreciated the themes of like death mm-hmm. that she puts in them,
yeah.
the themes of religion she puts into them. And yeah. the way that she handles it never feels melodramatic. It never feels heavy-handed.
It doesn't feel self-pitying either. There's no, no. like self-pity. She's just expressing her thoughts yeah. on these yeah. subjects. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think she was such a consummate writer. I mean, her most of her friendships depended entirely upon written correspondence. You know, she didn't see people in person that much. She lived a very, very isolated life by choice. She was, you know, viewed by locals as very eccentric. And, you know, she also had depression. So, you know, I think that her lifestyle was her choice, dictated in part by her depression and in part by her self-awareness that she didn't fit in with her, you know, the expected norms of her society. I feel like that's indicative of the voice in her poetry. Mm-hmm. So I feel like even though we would only be picking one poem discussing her and her life and, you know, all that that encompasses with her time and her place and her depression and her isolation and everything like that, I feel like we would have a lot to say for our audience in our podcast. I did want to, if it's okay, if we have time, I wanted to read a quote from something that she wrote to one of her friends after one of her mentors passed away. And the quote is, "Some of my friends are gone, and some of my friends are sleeping, sleeping the churchyard sleep. The hour of evening is sad. It was once my study hour. My master has gone to rest, and the open leaf of the book and the scholar at school alone make the tears come, and I cannot brush them away. I would not if I could, for they are the only tribute I can pay the departed." I mean, my word, what a beautiful writer, you know, mm-hmm. first of all, have you ever, I mean, that's an expression of grief and yet acceptance mm-hmm. of losing someone that is very rare. I think it's just rare and beautiful. So, I mean, on just a purely talent level, who better than Emily Dickinson, to, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. she's just such a good writer. So, but again, I do also feel like any year would be a Emily Dickinson year, you know? But she's always going to be one of our favorites. I think we both really appreciate her so much. Kind of like we did when we chose Langston Hughes. I mean, I think we both just thought Langston Hughes, we needed to talk about him and his poetry. And I think we would always feel that way about Emily Dickinson. So,
right. Yeah. She's just so much fun to read aloud because she just has this lovely little lilt. She's mm-hmm. just a master of meter.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a reason everybody's heard of her, you know. It may not be that everybody's actually read her, but everybody's heard of her for a reason. Right. So,
right.
So that concludes our 11 potential mm-hmm. nominees for our final four books for the 2021 NICE Project. Join us next time as we continue our discussion of our 2021 NICE Project.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.